नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we carry on reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's Canto 9, Chapter 16, Text 29 on the board. So this chapter is entitled, The Lord Parashuram Destroys the Ruling Class. Vishvamitrasya Chaivasan Putra Ekasatam Naripa Madhyamas Tu Matuchanda Maduchandasa Eva Te Vishvamitrasya Chaivasan Putra Ekasatam Naripa Madhyamastu Maduchanda Maduchandasa Evate
Based by what?
Vishvamitrasya Of Vishvamitra, Cha, also, Eva, indeed, Asan, there were, Putra, sons, Ekasatam, 101, it's 101, Naripa, O King Parikshit, Madhyama, the middle one, two, indeed, Maduchanda, known as Maduchanda, Maduchandasa, named the Maduchandas, Eva, indeed. Te, all of them. Translation with a very short purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. O King Parikshit, Vishvamitra had 101 sons, of whom the middle one was known as Maduchanda. In relation to him, all the other sons were celebrated as the Maduchandas. Please repeat after me. O King Parikshit, Vishvamitra had 101 sons, of whom the middle one was known as Maduchanda. In relation to him, all the other sons were celebrated as the Maduchandas. Purport. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this statement from the Vedas. Tasya ha Vishvamitrasyaika satam putra asu panchasat eva jyayamso Maduchandadasa Panchasat Kamiyamsa Panchasat Kamiyamsa. Vishvamitra had 101 sons. 50 were older than Maduchanda and 50 younger. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sichaitanna Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Mukham Kuroti Bachalam Pangalam Mayte Girim, Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shiguru Dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me maybe can speak few words from Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Tamala Krishna Goswamini Tinamine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanda Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shinnavadi Paskata Desatarine. My humble obeisances to all of you. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ivacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama. Hare Krishna. O King Parikshit, Vishwamitra had 101 sons, of whom the middle one was known as Madhuchanda. In relation to him, all the other sons were celebrated as the Madhuchandas. Before I begin a class, I would like to apologize actually for the other day to forget one of the main key of this pastime of this chapter, about when I forgot that Kartavirya Arjuna was actually the first one killed by Parashuram. So he was the one, the catalyst principle to instigate the whole incident of Parashuram reacting with rage and exterminate all the Kshatriya race and all the children of Kartavirya Arjuna. It's been many, many, many years. I haven't read the ninth canto. Sometimes we do forget, these are thousands of pastimes, we do forget, you know, incidents like that. Just like maybe if I ask you, was Maharaj Parikshit killed by the Brahmastra in the womb of Uttara, what would be your answer?
Yes.
Maharaj is right. A lot of devotees, they say, oh, he was protected by Krishna. But actually there is one verse in the third canto, his body was destroyed, he was killed. But Krishna gave him a new body. And Prabhupada in the purport says, this is the proof of reincarnation within the womb. So sometimes we do forget things like that. Anyway, we all know that Parashuram, we are over, is a saga. Parashuram, he came to actually establish justice. He represents the justice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the Dasi avatar, they represent something about God. Just like Lord Ram represents the morality of God. Buddha represents the intelligence of God. This is according to Jayadeva Goswami. Then you have Nishingadev, represents the anger of God. Then you have Balaram. What's Balaram represents? Bala, what it means, Bala? Yes. The power of God. Yes. He represents the power of God. Kurma represents the tolerance and patience of God. And then you have Vamana, who is another one of the Dasi avatar. What does he represent? The celibacy of God. Then you have, am I missing anyone out? Then you have Narada Muni, the Dasya avatar. Nrisimhadeva represents the anger of God, we already spoke. Krishna represents the beauty of God. Parasuram, we already said, represents the justice of God. Then we have Vamanadeva represents the celibacy of God. Varaha represents... Yeah, but also the beauty, yeah. But he also represents mainly the celibacy of God. The Varaha represents the care of God, because, you know, Varaha, being very caring, he left his wife. Then you have a Kalki. Yeah, I can't remember, but anybody will remember? Destruction, yeah, could say that. Buddha is the intelligence of God, we already said. Matsya avatar. Matsya is the wonder, because, you know, he performed wonderful things. Like, he was a very small fish, then big fish, and then a big one. He became huge, and the king, Satyavrat was in wonder. And also he preserved the seeds into the care of the Saptarishi, the sages. And from those seeds he created again, after the partial devastation, he created again all the living entities, 400,000, 4 million and how many species? 8,400,000 species. They were all preserved in the form of seeds. So he did wonderful things. So that's the chapter of Parashuram. So if someone actually, Prabhupada mentions in one of the purport that someone meditates on Parashuram, if someone has a trouble, being attacked or being some injustice is being done to him, that's the deity to meditate upon. And then he will do the justice on your behalf. So today we are starting a new episode, which is the birth of this great sage, Vishvamitra Muni. Vishvamitra Muni also represents the temperament of Lord Shiva. He's a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. And that is why he has a swings mood, very extreme, very pleased, or he could be very enraged. And here in this statement, you will find tomorrow class, you will find, you know, the anger of Vishvamitra Muni. He had 100 sons. So the first sets of 50 sons, they were considered to be the older ones. And then he adopted a special soul, a special jiva, Madhuchanda, it's described here. And then he had another 50 sons, the junior ones. Now, Vishvamitra Muni, he was a man of vision. He could see into the future that this adopted son, it's a special one. He was very advanced spiritually. Even though he's described here, he was a Madhyama, the middle one. Madhyama means, in the word by word, means the middle. Just like you have Uttamadikari, Kanishtadikari, and the middle one is the Madhyamadikari. So Madhuchanda had a special quality, special symptoms, an exalted personality that Vishvamitra could see. So therefore he put him in charge of all the 100 sons. as the leader, the head of the family. Why? Because he could see in that vision that from that personality later on in that dynasty, two more great personality were to be taken birth. And one is Shaunakarishi, the great sage of Shaunakarishi, who retold the Srimad Bhagavatam, who heard from Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. So it is by his mercy that we are sitting here enjoying the Srimad Bhagavatam. And also later on, the Supreme Personality of Godhead also again took birth as the Manvantara, the God of healing. And Prabhupada, anyway, you will come to it in the next few days. Prabhupada says, just by remembering or uttering this name, Manvantara, one can get relief from any disease that he has in his body. It's interesting that the first sets of sons, they refused to obey Vishvamitra Muni, to accept Madhuchanda as the leader. It was actually out of jealousy. You know, sometimes the stepson is looked down, you know, or the stepfather, the stepmother. This word step, I was looking on the vocabulary. It means, you know, a step away. It means another choice. You add in the vocabulary dictionary, there is a definition that stepson is an option. You add another option to your life. You have your son, but you also accept another one. But it's not your biological son. So therefore, those who are on the bodily concept of life, they look down. Oh, my stepbrother, my stepson, my stepmother, stepfather. So the first 50 sons of Vishvamitra, they could not accept this arrangement. And they were cursed by Vishvamitra. Immediately, the father became very angry. And he cursed them to become mlechas, sonless mlechas. Not only they fell down from their positions as sons of a Brahmins, but also they got married, but they couldn't beget any children. They were cursed by the father. However, the second sets of sons, the younger ones, the other 50, the junior, they accepted the leader, Madhuchanda, as their head, the big brother. And Vishvamitra, as the temperament of Lord Shiva, he immediately was very pleased, and he blessed them to become exalted Brahmins, and he blessed them to become also filled up with the children, beautiful children, and not only that, the great Shaunakarishi was born to them, and Manvantara, the Supreme Personality, was born to them. So he could see that this was the vision of Vishvamitra Muni. Now, this phenomenon of jealousy, you know, when we are in bodily concept of life, in the materialistic realm, the families, when a child is adopted, it's like a second hand. You know, you go into a shop and you buy a second hand item. It's almost seen like that. But in a spiritual Vedic culture, it's such an exalted position to be chosen by the father, by the guru. We are all adopted. Radharananda Maharaj is adopted son of Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? Yes or no? because of his beautiful quality, and you know, it's said in the previous verse. Maharaj Guru Prasad Swami mentioned yesterday there was one. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. To know who is a Brahman and who is a Kshatriya, one must consider a man's quality and work. So it's by symptoms, quality, tendency, or bhava. You know, someone who is demoniac, you could say, he's got asuric bhava in his heart. Or someone who is very attached, he's materialist bhava. Someone who is brahminical, so he has devotional bhava. So that's why Vishwamitra could see the symptoms of Madhuchanda to be qualified to be the leader of his children. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he took in his confidence Tamala Krishna Goswami, and he trusted him more than his own biological son. I mean, not to denigrate Prabhupada's family or his children, but Prabhupada said, beware, because one day I will not be around and the assets of ISKCON, they need to be preserved. I want you to protect the legacy of ISKCON. Don't let my children usurp to take the... And actually one of his sons, he took ISKCON to court when Prabhupada passed away. So you could see that the adopted son, it's not necessarily, you know, a second-hand item. It could be even a much more exalted than your biological son. Duryodhan, he adopted Arjuna as his favorite student, pupil. Dronacharya. Thank you, Maharaj. My brain is... Dronacharya, he adopted Arjuna as his best student. And Ashwatthama, he became jealous. And that was the cause of his envy towards Arjuna, the Pandavas, the Brahmastra that he threw to kill Arjuna's grandson, Parikshit. When he killed mercilessly the sons of the five Pandavas, he beheaded them in the sleep. There was an act of rage, vengeance. It was all Mahabharata described because the father chose more the Pandavas as a favorite, Arjuna especially, as his own son. And that's why he made Arjuna the best warrior. I mean, it's interesting that I'm giving class on this particular matter, because a few days ago my stepmother passed away. And those of you who are friends on Facebook on Panchagoda Prabhu, you saw that. I mean, I had a great affection for her, and she had a great affection for me. She used to be a nun before marrying my father. Again, the materialistic way of life. My sister, some of my brothers, my mother's family, they became very angry when I tried to do some ceremony, some ablutions for my stepmother. And they criticized me for being a traitor of the family. That's fine, I can take that burden on my shoulder. The thing is that I live on a principle that anyone who shows love towards me and it takes shelter of me, I will never let down that person. That's the way I am. I'm kind-hearted by nature. And my stepmother was a very simple lady, very religious. She would always say, "Oh, you are the son that I always wanted." So my brothers, sisters, they never kept any relationship with her. But I felt because of her piety, and she made my father happy. And because I have some view, different view, through the Vedic knowledge, just like Bhishma Dev, he would do anything. He took up, you know, the brahmachari vow to become Devavrat, the greatest vow, to never marrying, to make his father happy, to accept a stepmother. And not only that, to accept the wish of the stepmother. Satya, what was her name? Satya. Satyavrati, yeah. And this is the way to activate whatever knowledge you have in your heart. You honor. When you study the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedas, then the consciousness changes. I see people, there are kids, you know, some of the kids that I made devotees by through book distribution. And they're like my children. I see them like my children. There are friends became devotees. I see them like brothers. This principle of adopting, it's very honorable. It's not that you invite in your life a second-hand personality. So, anyway, that was just an example, my stepmother. You could see that, for example, the mother of Dhruva. "Oh, because you are my stepson, this you're not born from my womb," when she spoke to Dhruva Maharaj, "therefore you cannot sit on your father's lap. Only my son, who is from my womb, will sit on his lap." So this is a materialistic mentality. We see the body. That's just body. The genes. "Because you are my blood, I love you." But I was explaining to my sister, to many of my relatives on my mother's side, there is that little spark in the heart of everybody that has to be respected, valued. And that little spark has the power to love. So we are connected through soul to soul. Today, I mean, this life, you know, you are my mom and dad. Next life, somebody else is my mom and dad. Prabhupada says, just like two grains of sand, they come together on the beach and they're by the wind, and they're separated by the power of waves. So similarly, two souls, they come together. Perhaps they play the part of my mom and me, or me and my dad, or me and my brother, me and my wife, me and my son. But then these two souls, they are separate again by the power of time. So we gain this wisdom of being equal to everyone with the help of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam helps one to become free from the dogmatic concept of life. That, you know, I love you because you are my blood and you are just my friend, but I cannot love you the way I love my son because you are not my blood. But this principle of adopting is very important. Actually, we should increase it in ISKCON more and more and more to prove that we are not on the bodily concept of life. But I'm sorry to say, there is a still very strong hold of nepotism, favoritism in ISKCON. You know, family comes first, or friends come first, and then everyone else comes secondary. But you can adopt a good friend to become your brother. You can adopt a child to be like your son. And you will see that that person will show much love to you than sometimes your own son. Just like Madhuchanda, he had a great respect and love for Vishwamitra Muni. The other sons, the older ones, they loved the father, but they didn't love the child, the brother, the step-brother. Sometimes this concept of life is also in our society. We rush towards Krishna. I love Krishna. We offer obeisance and we chant before Krishna. We just meditate on Krishna. We pray to Krishna. But then we ignore or we neglect the surrounding of the devotees or the guru. So Krishna himself very often he says, you know, you love, if you won't love me, then you love my devotee. Tadiya. My devotees, they're part, they're the best part of my paraphernalia. The best, the crown jewel of his paraphernalia. Devotees. Especially advanced devotees. So therefore the guru, Krishna, he say, they say, take shelter, take guidance, accept this principle that this person is more advanced than you and you take his guidance. When we accept that principle, then means we are advancing in Krishna consciousness. But sometimes, you know, the guru says, you know, you accept this person as your superior, we shake the head like a horse, isn't it? But then, with our mind, we don't. So Krishna says, there is a say, if you don't learn to love what you see, you can never learn to love what you don't see. At the moment, you know, you don't see Krishna. Hands up anyone who sees Krishna. Beautiful. No, I mean, when, you know, like Krishna in the performing his pastime, like in the upasana way, you know, in front of your eyes you see the Lord and speaking to you, embracing you. Or do we really have that darshan? Very good. That means you are, must be a pure devotee. All my respect to you. But we see the devotees. We see the guru. We see the Vaishnavas, superior. So we learn to love what we see first. Yeah? You agree? And then we can have a darshan of Krishna. It's not the other way around. It's not that we see Krishna first and then by his mercy we have the darshan of the devotee. No. It's spiritual life starts faith. Atoshrada Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya. Doesn't say Atoshrada Krishna Sangha Bhajana Kriya. Does it? Does it say that? Doesn't say Krishna Sangha Bhajana Kriya. It's not that by faith you will have association of Krishna. No. First you have strong faith, come to the temple, and then you have these special mercies of Sadhu Sangha, associating with devotees, and then what comes next? Bhajana Kriya. Then that's when your service starts. And by the power of service, Bhajana Kriya, there is a very special phenomenon that takes place in the heart. What is that? Anarthanivritti. Just like when you put the milk on the stove, all the impurity, the Bhajana Kriya is the flame. Then all the impurity from the milk comes up and you take it off. So from the heart, when you feel uncomfortable, when you feel the anartha coming out, don't feel discouraged. Don't think there's something wrong with you. Don't think that, oh, I'm very sinful, I'm very deep. It means the process works. Isn't that Maharaj? When devotees, they would stand before Prabhupada, they would feel, you know, this uncomfortable. Supposed to feel uncomfortable before an exalted personality, oh, an advanced devotee. If you feel comfortable, that means you are a sahaja. Or unless you are an uttama adhikari. So, the anartha, by the association of devotees, they engage you in bhajana kriya, then anartha nivritti. And then when enough anarthas fly out of your heart, what comes next? Yes. You become steady in Krishna consciousness. And then after nishtha, you start to taste the chanting, the service, ruchi. And then after ruchi, asakti, yeah, attachment. Attachment for the devotees, attachment for your service. We have a temple president there, Panjagoda Prabhu. He doesn't get a penny. Wherever little something, you know, he gives it back to the temple. But he's been here for 16 years. Why? You ask him, why is he here? He must have some attachment, isn't it? Attachment for the Dham. Otherwise, it could be somewhere else. We all come here because we have some degree of attachment for the Dham. We all chant Hare Krishna every day because we have some attachment for the holy name. So this, when enough association has blessed us, we start to chant very deep. And that chanting is actually the Namaruchi. You start to fertilize your consciousness so that the rain the rain of mercy comes on and is absorbed. Without chanting, we cannot render our consciousness fertile, soft. Because the chanting is a process that makes you a recipient of the mercy of the Vaishnavas and Krishna. And then Namaruchi, Vaishnava Seva. The Vaishnava Seva makes you, gives you the mercy of this service. And then what do you do with it? Once you serve the Vaishnava, that's it. It's the end of spiritual life. But what is next? What is Namaruchi, Vaishnava Seva? Jivadoya. Then you get that mercy and give it to other people. Maharaj said, you know, make sure you talk something about the transcendental books. We call it box. But that is the purpose of Krishna consciousness, giving out to people this mercy in the form of Harinam, book distribution, prasada distribution. This is constitutes the mission of ISKCON. Then you have the institution, which is management, positions, manpower, money, temple. You also need all that. But everything is meant to facilitate, to push forward the mission. Just like yesterday, I enjoyed very much the kirtan that was going on. The Harinam upside here, the temple, in front of the Samai, was attracting so many people. And sometimes I take a Jabba walk. There is no such a thing, any other temple. So this Harinam, it's actually the fruit of what we are doing here in the Dham. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, you have a book distribution every morning that you offer to the deities. That is the beautiful fruit of the activity that comes out of living in the Dham. Everything has to culminate in preaching. Because Jiva Doya, merciful, when you give, you are happy. When you take, you are miserable. For many lifetimes, we've been taking. Every morning, even as a devotees, we get up in the morning, we take the oxygen in our lungs, isn't it? To carry on living. We take the sunlight to see. We take so much from the nature, but we take everything for granted. We take food that hasn't been cultivated by us. Okay, you pay a little bit of money, but there is so much sacrifice in that grains, vegetables that you eat every day, in the sweets. It's all given by the demigods. It's not produced because of the money that man generates. No matter how much money we make in the world, but if the demigods, they don't pour any rain, there will be no vegetables, no fruits, nothing to eat, no grains. We take clothes to cover ourselves. We take water from a Mother Earth. We take so many things. We're born actually naked in this world, but then we take. So Krishna consciousness means it's time also to the spiritual master is training us how to give a little something back. A little. Even if you don't give anything, but you are grateful for everything that the Lord supplies you every day, then that's one of the greatest realizations. My dear Lord, thank you for everything what you're giving me. I have a prayer now. Every morning I sit with my wife, my son. Thank you, my Lord, for a roof over my head, some breakfast on the table. And Krishna likes that. Then, if I want to go a little bit more deep, then I like to reciprocate. So I go out on book distribution. And I feel that my debt, you know, is fulfilled. Krishna is happy. But even if you don't do that, even if you live in the Dham and you don't do anything, you will rest assured that you will go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna is not a Taliban. Unless you preach, I'll kill you. Or you go to hell. Even if you live in the Dham and you don't preach, you're fine. Something is better than nothing. Of course, more is better than something. So, more we give to Krishna, and more we become dear to him. Lord Chaitanya, I'm just going to close with a little something very sweet that is one of my favorite pastimes. When Lord Chaitanya took rest in the house of Sarvabhum Bhattacharya, King Patraparutra was trying for months and months to see Lord Chaitanya, but the Lord refused. I am a sannyasi. I don't want to see any materialist people. The king is the epitome, is the topmost materialistic man, and I don't want to associate. Even though the Lord, he knew very well that the king was a devotee. But still, he said, I am a sannyasi, I cannot. So, Swarup Damodar told King Patraparutra, do you really want the reception of the Lord? Do you really want it? He said, yes, I would do anything to. He said, okay, go when he's asleep and you can find the Lord when he's sleeping. So on that day, the Lord had a huge meal, prasadam. So he was in a deep sleep. Patraparutra came, finding the Lord. And then Patraparudra was reciting the Gopi Gita. talking about the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. The gopis and Krishna, Radha and Krishna. But the Lord was still asleep. Until it came to a particular verse. You know the verse, Maharaj. Please say loud, this is very nice. Tava katamritam tapta jivanam, and so on. The Lord woke up from... Now, this verse has got nothing to do with the pastimes of Krishna and the gopi, Radha and Krishna. Nothing. No Madhurya Ras, no Vatsalya Ras. There is nothing like that. When the Lord heard that verse, Tava katamritam tapta jivanam, it means anyone who distributes these nectarian words of Lord Krishna to a poor, struggling, suffering soul, Burida Jana, at the end you find, the Lord says that such a person is magnificent. So the Lord Chaitanya, he got up, he woke up in ecstasy, and he embraced Pataparudra. Whether he was a king, he was not king, he embraced him. He became immediately very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Now it made me thinking, I was meditating actually on this verse. Nothing we say sometimes, very often, that the highest rasa is the Madhurya Ras, pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the gopi and Krishna. That's fine, that's the truth. We are correct. But love is not complete if it doesn't have a compassion in it. Radha and Krishna, they're in Vrindavan, eternally absorbed in their pastimes. But there is a little something there, some compassion. So that's why Lord Chaitanya, he came. Is that principle of compassion. He came to deliver all of us. If we do the same thing, even if we go out a little bit and give Krishna to someone in the form of prasadam, say something about Krishna in the form of a book, Harinam, then you become Burida Jana, magnificent. And this is actually what Srila Prabhupada did. He got out of Vrindavan. He could have died here. But he preferred, he had that crown jewel. The crown jewel of love for Krishna, for Radha and Krishna, is the compassion. If you have that compassion in your heart and do a little bit of preaching, then your love for Radha and Krishna is the topmost, complete. Hare Krishna. All glory Srila Prabhupada. I think I went over time, and I beg for forgiveness, and we will not take any questions. Isn't it? Can I? We could take one question. Or any correction. Maharaj, you have any correction? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. We'll take one question. I'll paraphrase your question. You said that I said that we have attachment for Krishna. That's why we are here in the Dham. You know, there is five main principles of devotional service. One is, maybe you can help me, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deities, associating with devotees, reading Bhagavatam. What's the last one? Living in the Dham. So, because we have attachment for that service, we come here. If you can live in the Dham, that's beautiful. I personally, I'm not as fortunate like you are, and like all of you. I'm not qualified. I feel restless, yeah. And I feel that my dharma is book distribution, which is non-different from the service that all of you are doing here. We are all different. That is why, that's the beauty. We were speaking the other day. We have to learn how to celebrate unity and diversity. We are all different. Maharaj, for example, he's going to go back to the West and preach. Maharaj, would you stay here and die here until you are 99 years old?
Why not?
Oh, there you are. So he's going to stay here. So it's not easy thing. That's why I have topmost admiration, you know, from devotees like Panchagoda Prabhu and so many. It's very austere, actually. But if you could do it, that's good. That's a form of attachment. If you are attached to any of these five, you go back home, back to Godhead. Yeah? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai.